Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:13 on this Thursday morning, October 9th. The government has been shut down now for 8 days, 6 hours, 12 minutes, 29 seconds, and counting. And I would ask you at 504-260-1870, has it affected or impacted your life at all? 504-260-1870, the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line. As always, no texting and driving. Justin Buechler joins us to talk about it, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Compare and contrast this shutdown with others, if you will, please, to get us started.
Sure. Well, most ways, it's relatively similar, but there are a few minor differences. So we're about a week into the shutdown, which means we've got a bunch of workers who are furloughed. We've got negotiations that are kind of stalled. So everything is relatively close to where it has been in similar shutdowns. There are a few differences. Usually what has happened in past shutdowns is that it has been the Republicans who have pushed for some extra demand on top of a clean continuing resolution. So the first major difference is this time it's been the Democrats who have asked for something on top of a clean continuing resolution, and that's the extension of some health care subsidies from Obamacare. So that's the first big difference. The second big difference, and this is where I think things are really interesting, is that historically what has happened is that whichever party has made the demand on top of just clean funding for the government, that party has had to cave. But what I think is really interesting this year is that the Republicans, and specifically President Trump, has almost pre-caved and said that he was willing to negotiate just at the beginning of the shutdown on these healthcare subsidies. And that has really hurt the Republicans' bargaining position. So I think that's the primary difference, is that's kind of given the Democrats more of an edge than I expected this time around.
There are a lot of Republicans that benefit from these subsidies, right? Working Republicans?
Yeah, that's true. The subsidies that we're talking about are for workers who are making more money than eligibility for Medicaid, but don't get health insurance through their employers. And that's a significant number, and that has nothing to do with partisanship. So there are Democrats and Republicans who both qualify for the subsidies. And that cuts across party lines. Yeah, that's true.
And it goes to, I guess, why they chose this hill, because politically, the Republicans, first of all, I would ask you, who shut the government down? Because I get texts from people saying it's the Democrats. I get texts from people saying it's the Republicans. When you get right down to it, it would be the Democrats, because they didn't want to allow a vote in the Senate. Now we're getting in the weeds with cloture and so forth, but they didn't want to allow a vote or to end the filibuster, or at least to prevent a filibuster. Now I'm really getting tangled up in it. Take me through it, Professor. Explain that
sure.
For everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. So my rule and the way that I describe it for every single shutdown, because I want a consistent rule, I try to be consistent and analytical in everything, is that Whichever side just wants to extend funding and is willing to have a clean continuing resolution, that's not the side that shuts down the government. Whichever side wants something additional on top of that and says, we will not fund the government unless you give us X, that's the side responsible for the shutdown. So in every past or nearly every past shutdown, I have asserted that it was the Republicans shutting down the government because they wanted something extra. So we've seen these shutdowns really since 1995 and 1996 with Newt Gingrich. And so for most of these shutdowns, it has been the Republicans because they have wanted something on top of clean continuing resolutions. For this shutdown, in my analysis, applying that same rule that I have applied every year, it's the Democrats because they've wanted something in addition to a clean continuing resolution.
So the cuts don't happen until December 31st. This continuing resolution would go until when that the Republicans proposed?
So there are a couple of versions, and a continuing resolution can go for however long a proposal is suggested. I've seen a bunch of different variations. The most likely that I have seen, the most likely to pass, if they can get one, would be something like a 7-week continuing resolution. But all a continuing resolution does, just understand this, all a continuing resolution does is it extends the current funding levels in order to create more time to negotiate. So in principle, you could have a continuing resolution for a week. So what might happen is you get a continuing resolution for a week or 2 weeks just to create more time to reopen the government in order to create time for negotiations for full appropriations bills. So maybe you get one for 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and that would be the resolution which would reopen the government. But that's ultimately what's going to happen at some point, is the parties are going to agree to a continuing resolution. That continuing resolution will reopen the government, and as a result of that, there will be time to negotiate full appropriations.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, politically, why would the Democrats choose now when the cuts don't go into effect until December 31st, unless they wanted to, let me take a break. You can answer when we come back. I just noticed the time. 6:20. Sure. We're talking to Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Whenever I hear a guest say, that means I got something interesting to say. So we take a break, and then you'll hang on until we come back on WWL Traffic Now. 6:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Government's been shut down for 8 days, 6 hours, 24 minutes, and 45 seconds, Mark. Justin Buechler, our guest, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. So we're talking about, you know, the Democrats chose to do this because of the upcoming cuts, subsidies to Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, but that's going to affect a lot of Republicans, too, a lot of working people who, I think, the upshot of this is that they proved that, mandate aside, they'll buy insurance if it's affordable, but it's not going to be if these cuts go away. They don't go away until December 31st, to recap for the audience, Professor. So if that's the case, why would they choose now to do this?
Yeah, so this is kind of an interesting quirk in how budgeting works. Calendar year and the fiscal year are two different things. The fiscal year for the federal government runs October 1st through October 1st. Why? That's just the timing of it, which means that annual appropriations run out on October 1st and new appropriations bills are supposed to be passed by October 1st. And that means that the Democrats leverage, or at least so they thought, would be to hold up appropriations for October 1st at the new fiscal year. Mm-hmm. And when the subsidies expire, they don't think that they really have as much leverage. So the Democrats made a strategic choice to say, we're going to shut down the government at the point of the new fiscal year where there is maximum leverage, where shutting down the government is going to cause a lot of inconvenience to a lot of people, and that's going to increase over time, and use that as leverage based on this weird quirk of the timing of the fiscal year. And that's basically what's going on.
So how's that working out for them, and how politically much attention do they have for the people that are going to be affected by these subsidies going away?
So right now we don't have data on how the people affected feel, because that hasn't really kicked in yet. Mm-hmm. But based on the polling, right now the polling is favoring the Democrats. Nobody is happy about the shutdown, because nobody's ever really happy about the shutdown. But the polling tends to favor the Democrats. So I have the polling up here. And we've got three relatively recent polls. There's an Economist poll, there's a CBS poll, and there's an NPR poll. So, for example, the Economist poll says that 64% say that the Republicans are more to blame, and 53% say that the Democrats are to blame. So Republicans are taking more of the blame there. The CBS poll says that 70% are blaming the Republicans and 61% blaming the Democrats. The NPR poll says that 69% are blaming the Republicans, 58% blaming the Democrats. So basically nobody comes out looking good in a shutdown. It's just a question of who comes out looking worse. And with all of the polls that I'm seeing, Republicans look worse, which means that Democrats are doing a little bit better here. And as I think I said earlier, it looks like Republicans have sort of pre-caved and they're talking about negotiating, which tends to suggest that Democrats are going to win on this one.
Is this about paying furloughed workers? Has that taken the precedent over the health care subsidies, or do the Republicans cave on the health care subsidies in order to get the government back? How do you see this working?
That's really hard to say. The Republicans, the administration has threatened not to give back pay to the furloughed workers, but it's hard to see that playing out.
And what about the health care subsidies? Will the Republicans cave on that?
Probably, but I wouldn't give a definite answer on that.
All right. It's a mess. It always is a political mess and political theater. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Justin Buechler, Associate Professor Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. We'll come back, spend Thursday morning with Mike Strain, as we usually do. Right now, we pause for WWL First News, and for that we go to our news director, one David Cohen. 6:45, quarter till 7, Thursday morning, around these parts. At this time, we talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, Dr. Mike Strain, a beloved veterinarian on the North Shore, and today is no exception. How you doing, Mike Strain? You got me muted,
yeah.
Mike Strain?
Hey, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. I can hear you great, sir. You must be out in a sugarcane field on a tractor.
It won't be long. I'll be headed to Lafayette today.
Yeah.
And then, yes, believe it or not, I'm going with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser on an alligator hunt.
Really?
Yes. Now, I asked him, said, listen, which one of us are they going to use for bait? He said, well, with both of you, you know, we ought to be able to track some real good gators. So, We're doing that today, and it's a fundraiser for the RSLC. So we're doing that. But today, this morning, I actually have a hearing at the Capitol, and it's going to be on chronic wasting disease in deer. And so there is a task force, and I'll be testifying there this morning. So it's going to be a busy day, but you know, but it's all good. It's all good. We're working on CWD, which is a, you know, a very unique disease. It's a prion disease. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we, you know, we're really learning a lot more. There's a whole new world out there, because the infectious agent is not alive. It's not a virus. It's a subunit of protein. And believe it or not, you know, there are human prion diseases, and we're trying to understand those as well. And I think we're going to find a lot of correlations between these ancient diseases and, you know, some of the long-term diseases.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've been dealing with looking at such things as dementia, Alzheimer's, and that sort of thing, and look to see the role that prions in the human world play with that. So a lot of research going on as well.
This alligator hunt, how do you go about that? Do you use a bow and arrow? How do you do it?
Oh, no. So we're going to bait some hooks and some boats.
Oh,
right? So we're not. Yeah. Oh, no. We're not going to go out there and walk around in the marsh with a rifle or bow and arrow. That would not be, intelligent.
Yeah.
Because, those gators, that hunt would go both ways, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's, I knew somebody when a senior in high school, no kidding, between the time that school got out and he graduated, jumped out of a pirogue and wrestled an alligator because he thought it'd be fun to do, and he lost like five fingers. True story.
He's lucky to be alive.
Yeah, well, he's not anymore, but he was lucky to be alive at that point. Let's talk about Fire Prevention Week, Mike.
Yeah, we really need to gear up on that. It's very, very dry right now, and believe it or not, we've been having a number of fires. We had 43 fires last week. So far, we've had over the 507 fires to date. What's happening right now, the brush piles, it's beautiful weather.
Mm-hmm.
People going outside, it feels good, lighting those brush piles, but you can't leave them. You need to be there with a rake and a water hose because they can get away. The conditions are such that the grass will burn, and if it continues to stay dry, we have mild degrees of drought in a number of areas in the state. Maybe we hope to get some water, but not in the next 7 to 10 days. And so we need to pay attention to what we are doing because, again, only you can prevent wildfires. Just, using common sense. And fire prevention is very, very critical, especially whether in and around the home, because a lot of times these fires, the brush piles are near the home or near a structure. And then, again, just a good little bit of caution. Also, look around your home. And, you can see, what would happen if, say, the grass caught on fire on the edge of your property? Would it be able to reach your home? Are there things, are you stacking things under your home or next to your home that you really shouldn't, that would burn easily? Another thing that we have learned when we had the massive wildfires, there are ways to help prevent your house from being susceptible to those fires. If you have areas that, say, would go under the house, and you need to clean that up, but also anything you can do to block, say, an ember.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with, under eaves or in any other access to the home where an ember could go in and start a fire. In your garage, think about, where you're storing gasoline for the lawnmower and other chemicals. And often, such things, as, oily rags, if you have those there. So those little things you can do as a prevention. And look at all extension cords. One thing you don't want to do is leave something hooked up to a long extension cord over time, because as if you ever feel one, they get hot. And don't put any type of covering over an extension cord. Don't put an extension cord under a rug, because again, that is a big source of fire as we head in to cold weather.
Mike, let's talk about crawfish. And do we know at this point what the crop might look like for next year?
We are hearing some very good news. A number of farmers are actually increasing the acreage. So far what we're hearing right now, we may have upwards over 360,000 acres of crawfish. And, and the weather has been good. The rice crop has been good. If we can get adequate rainfall, I think we are going to have a bumper crop of crawfish. So we're very excited about that. And so that is looking very good. I've seen a lot of shrimp too on landings, and shrimp are very, very available and affordable right now. So seafood, but again, ask before you eat, right? And make sure that you're eating Louisiana crawfish, Louisiana shrimp, U.S. Louisiana catfish, as we rebuild our seafood industry. And don't forget about our beautiful oysters, and we've got some magnificent crabs. So I think we're going to have a very good year. We're looking at a very good year next year. And of course, hopefully it'll start a little early. We've had really mild weather, and we haven't had, you know, any hard freezes. But I think we're going to have an exciting crawfish season next year. It's really looking good.
Mike, I saw a restaurant offering soft-shell shrimp. What's up with that?
That you'd have to hand-pick those soft-shell shrimp unless they are grown. You know, they take the shrimp, and by hand, I guess they would feed them and then shed them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be, and I guess that's the delicacy, soft-shell shrimp. We used to have companies that would have soft-shell crawfish.
I remember those.
Well, soft-shell crabs. You remember those?
Yeah, but they're very expensive, weren't they?
Oh, yes, indeed, of course, because you have to shed them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you have to have shedding boxes, but if you catch those shrimp and if you hand-pick through them, you'll see the ones that are, you know, we quote, call them busters. They're big, and then you would shed those out and then immediately bring them into the restaurant. So there's a way to do that, but it does take a little bit of technique and labor, and you've got to be where you've got the proper water. But you can do that, and they are sure are good. And there's nothing like that soft-shell crab or soft-shell crawfish or soft-shell shrimp. That is truly a delicacy.
Mike, I know Sunday is National Loggers and National Farmers Day. Talk about the importance of the loggers and the farmers in Louisiana, please.
Well, when you talk about, you know, let's talk about with the loggers. The loggers, that's more than $1 billion-plus per year, $1 billion-plus. And when you add the value to it, it's $4 billion in our economy. And if you look at the number of loggers, it's a pretty tight group, you know, less than 1,000 loggers in the state. And they log 15 million acres of farmed timber. That's a big deal. It's one of the discussions we're having with the European Union and others because they don't quite understand. You know, they think we keep cutting, you know, virgin forests. These are farmed plantations. And they harvest at 12 years, then at 18 years, and constantly replant. And then we have about 3.6 million acres of bottomlands that we can harvest about once every 40 years. But it is a farm, and it is extremely important to our economy. For many parishes, that is the entire economy, the entire economy. And then on the other part, you talk about carbon sequestration. And if you talk about all the wonderful things that it does for the environment, so wildlife, et cetera, so it's a huge part of our ecosystem. On the agricultural side, our direct agricultural output is over $8.6 billion. And so when you add those together, you know, direct to the farmers, you know, we're at $10 to $12 billion. And then when you put that in the economy, it's $50 to $60 billion. So it's a huge part of our overall economy. And over 275,000 people work in agriculture and forestry. So it's the largest sector of our economy in that respect.
Thank you, Mike. A pleasure as always. You be careful today. I don't want to be interviewing an alligator next week, okay?
Oh, no, yeah, that would be hard to get the sound, right? You'd have to hold it down. You'd have to put that microphone down close to his mouth. I don't think you want that.
No, I want to talk to you, not it. Thank you, sir. Have a good time. Tell Billy hello. Mike Strain, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, 655, 5 till 7. Traffic now, WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.